Iran says the final statement of a U.S.-led anti-Tehran conference in the Polish capital was indicative of its defeat and failure. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said the participation of low-level delegates and their refusal to side with any anti-Iran move turned the final statement into an invalid document. Bahram Qasemi noted that Washington organized the event under the pretext of advocating peace and security in the Middle East. Iranian officials said the U.S., however, has created instability and insecurity and extremism in the region through its hypocritical policies and support for terrorism. The two-day Warsaw meeting ended on Thursday, falling short of taking any anti-Tehran measure. The participants only agreed to come together again in the future. Well, let's bring in Mr. Barry Grossman, international lawyer, via Skype out of Bali to discuss this story a little bit further. It's good seeing you, Barry. Isn't it ironic that as an anti-Iran so-called security conference is going on in Warsaw, there is actually a terrorist attack not orchestrated, as some claim, by Iran, but within Iran, to which the United Nations has only lent condemnation. I want to get your reaction to that.
Well, look, I don't think it's at all ironic. I think it's par for the course. We've seen this happen before in recent years. We've seen dastardly terrorist attacks on Iran at border positions and elsewhere within Iran. And there's every indication, given the rhetoric that we hear from the United States and Israel and their allies, that these attacks are directly tied to those nations through intermediaries like MEK and other terrorist groups that are supported openly now by the United States, notwithstanding that not so many years ago the United States considered them to be terrorists. So the fact that there's this meeting playing out in Europe, which was originally planned to be a war conference of sorts, then was toned down when the EU expressed reservations and a number of EU countries decided they wouldn't attend. It was toned down only to see in the last day Netanyahu himself describe it as a meeting among European nations to discuss the imperative of going to war, literally going to war with Iran in order to achieve peace. Echoed, of course, by the American vice president, who quite absurdly talked about Iran planning another Holocaust against Israel. This kind of rhetoric is not accidental. It's completely absurd. And I don't think there's anything ironic about the timing of this tragic terrorist attack within Iran. Because if we take people who speak on behalf of the US security apparatus and the current presidential administration at their word, this is exactly the sort of thing that they're trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve unrest, stir up civil disobedience, and chaos within Iran as part of their agenda to go to war with Iran. So if you apply Occam's razor, the obvious, the simplest solution to any question about what this latest terrorist attack is about would be to presume that that axis of evil, the United States, Israel, supported by the United Kingdom and France, are behind it.
Mm-hmm. And Barry, you know, one more thing now that you talked about searing up violence. And well, you know, to political observers, that is basically a known hand, so to speak. But I want you to walk us through who is going to benefit from an unstable Iran, and who do you think benefits the most from attacks as such? And perhaps who funds them?
Sure. Well, ultimately, nobody benefits. But quite clearly, in the short term, what we're up against is the fact that the political apparatus and the machinery of government, including the coercive branch of government, the security apparatus in the United States, is entirely dependent on the armaments industry. In fact, the United States has quite long now been a war economy. It's essentially a war economy. I did the calculations a few years back, and if you calculate properly the amount of money spent in the United States on war and armaments and security, it's not very different from what was spent by Nazi Germany during World War II, just as it went on a full war footing near the end of the war. So to put it into perspective, that's the way to look at it. So the US now, that has largely stopped making anything else, you know, seems to have an economy that's a war-based economy in large part. And of course, the policy-making apparatus runs on money. It runs on lobbying, which is a fancy word really for bribery, promoted by the SCOTUS itself, the Supreme Court of the United States, which only a couple of years ago basically redefined what corruption is, making it perfectly proper for politicians and high-ranking officials to actually accept money from people as long as they didn't improperly promise some quid pro quo. So all of that, together with Citizens United, it encourages money in the game of politics. And of course, we've known for a very long time that the public policy-making apparatus plays out in basically corporate-funded think tanks. Now, the sector which dishes out a great deal of money, of course, is the armament sector. Because when we get contractors and armament suppliers like Raytheon making literally multiple billions every time there's a terrorist attack or an incident, it clearly lies in their interest to encourage conflict. And then when you have representation from special interests abroad, basically pressuring U.S. politicians to support their war agenda, mm-hmm. in the short term, everybody who embraces that lunacy profits at the expense of their own people, and certainly at the expense of Iranians and at the expense of regional peace, and indeed the very mandate on which the United Nations was founded. It's in the UN Charter. The mandate is to maintain regional security and peace, and at the same time endeavor to deliver to people the rights which it was agreed, certainly by Atlantic world countries and others, are due to individuals as a result of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. What we see, in fact, though, is the United Nations General Assembly paying, you know, lip service to all of that and sometimes seeming to support it, but the Security Council itself having fully abandoned its responsibilities and its obligations under the Charter, to the point where the permanent members of the Security Council are really just jockeying for position to see who can hold the most sway as they basically try and take the biggest slice of the world order pie, if you like, for themselves. So it's a nasty mess. But in the short term, all the usual suspects profit from this kind of conflict, but no people profit. American citizens don't profit. People in the region certainly don't profit. Even the occupation doesn't profit, let alone Iran. Iran is one of the few nations, one of the few old world nations that exists that has actually a remarkably long-standing peaceful record. Yet it's the one nation that the Atlantic world international system, as they like to call it, seems to be so fully committed to taking apart, to deconstructing, to going to war with. And it's really quite tragic, and it's tragic to see people take lives right. So thoughtlessly and carelessly, but intentionally, as we see in these kinds of incidents where they're terrorist attacks.
Thank you very much. That's Barry Grossman, international lawyer, who joined us out of Bali via Skype.